A reading from the book of the prophet Zechariah. Thus says the Lord, "Rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king shall come to you. A just Savior is he, meek and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord.
My King and my God.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
I will extol you, O my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and holy in all his works. The Lord lifts up all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Consequently, brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Alleluia.
Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
Spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory
to you,
O Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
Let me ask you a question. What are you yoked to? What are you yoked to? Or if you're grammatical purists, to what are you yoked? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's one of his most well-known and well-quoted words. But what does it mean to be yoked? Well, in the times of Jesus, almost everybody would have recognized what a yoke, Y-O-K-E, not Y-O-L-K, part of an egg, a yoke was. It was a long bar. It was placed over the shoulders of beasts of burden to harness their power. Even in more modern times, up to, I would say, the invention of the self-propelled vehicles, you know, automobiles, trucks with gas engines, things like that. These were very common sights. People knew what a yoke was, understood what a yoke was. Normally, something that was made out of wood. It was hand-carved, went over the shoulders of either one animal or a group linked together so that they could be used to do something useful like tow a wagon, tow a plow, turn a grinding wheel, or even perhaps a pump for a well. It was an implement to help them do their jobs properly, and a good yoke was custom fitted for the individual animal so that it wouldn't be a strain on him, so that it wouldn't hurt the animal, so that he could do his work more easily for a long time without being worn out by this heavy piece of wood. So when Jesus asks us to take his yoke upon ourselves, he's asking us to agree to do work for him. He promises us that we will be able to more easily do the work that he has assigned us. Now in Matthew's gospel, that key work is known as the Great Commission. It happens towards the end of Matthew's gospel. Go out and make disciples of all the world. That's the mission of the apostles, it's our mission today. Go out, make disciples, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us here that he is meek and he is humble of heart, just like the Messiah described in our first reading, being meek and humble of heart. When you look at the original Greek that Matthew uses here, there's a little play on words. So I'm going to explain to you the Greek pun. Okay, wordplay was something that was very common in the ancient times because people couldn't read, so it helped them to remember if you made a little play on the words. So you all know or have probably heard the Greek word for Christ in Greek, Christos, right? Christos. That's where we get the word Christ in English. Well, of all the words that mean easy, simple, etc. in Greek that Matthew chose, and there's probably about 30 different ones he could have chosen, he used a word, Christos. Do you hear that? Christos. Christos es Christos. Christ is easy. It would have helped the early people remember this sermon. What's important about that? Well, Jesus is setting himself apart in contrast to those laboring under a heavy burden. And in Matthew's gospel, the heavy burden is basically the law of the Old Testament, the law that Moses handed down. Matthew goes out of his way to describe Jesus in ways that let us believe he is the new Moses, handing down the new law. So the heavy burden is trying to fulfill the law, which was virtually impossible, plus trying to fulfill all the demands added upon it generation after generation by the scribes and the people that the gospel today calls the supposedly wise and learned, adding burden upon burden because they did not grasp the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God, which Jesus now reveals, as he says, to the little ones, the simple ones, the everyday people, people like you and me. The mystery that he reveals is the mystery of the Trinity, that God is a God of love, a God of love, not a love God, okay, not one of the fertility gods from the religions that so plagued the Jewish people all throughout the Old Testament, but a God of love, a community of three persons in the one God, the Trinity, whose love for each other is so big, so overpowering, it overflows to include us and serves an example for how we are supposed to live because we were created in the image and likeness of God. This loving God bestows his mercy on us. He lifts us up when we're down. He forgives us when we truly repent and ask for it. The love from God is why Jesus calls upon us to, in return, love God with all our heart. An easy task. And to love our neighbor as ourselves, which can be an easy task, if we willingly give ourselves to God's grace and guidance, and if we put on the yoke of Christ. We could put on other yokes. What other yokes are there in this world? Well, we could reject Christ's yoke, put on the yoke of sin, the yoke of hatred, the yoke of selfishness, the yoke of unforgiveness. Each one of these yokes will be burdensome. Will be heavy. When we yoke ourselves to sin, we're never happy, except, well, maybe for a brief, fleeting moment before we become fully aware of our sin and all its ugliness. When we yoke ourselves to hatred, we can never be happy. Because hatred is the opposite of love, which God is. And that hatred will burn us up. It'll consume us in the fire of its blinding heat. When we yoke ourselves to selfishness, we can never be happy because we were created for community like the Trinity is a community. No one who lives selfishly can live in community, so wrapped up in their own cares and desires that the world they live in is too small to include happiness. When we yoke ourselves to unforgiveness, we can never be happy. Because each unforgiving offense moment piles one upon the other until by its immense weight, that yoke is impossible to drag forward. So let us therefore be resolved to take up the yoke of Jesus and place it willingly on our shoulders, to be his beasts of burden, carrying out his commands, his will, to love God, to love neighbor, so that his work, which he has asked us to continue, evangelizing all the world, may continue. So today, when you come forward and receive the Lord, body and blood, soul and divinity, ask him in that very intimate moment, ask him to put his yoke on you and to guide us to do the work for his kingdom. The yoke we choose will either weigh us down or free us to do the work that God created us for, living a life of love. God love you.